Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
At the end of the service, we're going to have a time of baptism, and there's some people that are going to be baptized. We are joining in a practice that has been going on for thousands of years. And if you've not grown up in the church, or maybe you're just visiting and not familiar with this, it may seem a little bit weird, a little bit unusual. If you didn't know anything about it and you came here and you saw somebody get in this tank, right, and then a couple more people lay them down and dunk them in the water, right, you'd probably be like, what in the world is going on? And then if you saw them come up and they were not mad at those people that dunked, but actually embraced them, then you'd probably think, man, there's something, there's got to be more to that. Well, I want to explain the more to it as best I can and just kind of talk about baptism in general. Romans 6, would you just stand in honor of God's word? We want to place God's word above everything, above whatever a person says in here, right? And I want you to align yourselves with God's word over anything, right? That's why we take the opportunity to stand. Romans 6, beginning at verse 3, I just have three verses here. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For since we have become one with him in dying as he did, in the same way we shall be one with him by being raised to life as he was. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, let it speak to our hearts. Father, let our hearts be soft. Would you remove the scales? Would you remove the hardness? Would you open our eyes and our ears? Would you put distractions out of our way, Lord, so that we can hear from you to the one who doesn't know you today? May they realize that there is a God who seeks after them, who chases after them. And if they will only turn and seek back, they can find you. Father, be with our service. You have right of way. Do whatever you want. We just ask that you'd speak through your word to us. Lord, we love you and we give you all praise. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Several years ago, I was listening to one of my favorite pastors to listen to, and he was talking about this opportunity that he had to go to the Ivory Coast. This is 20-plus years ago, all right, that he was talking about. He preached outside of a mosque to some Muslim men through an interpreter, and through that interpreter, he was able to share the gospel message. When he was finished, one of the missionaries then went over and had a further discussion with these men. He came back and he told him, hey, there's three of these guys that want to give their life to Jesus Christ, and they want to be baptized tonight. He said they just have to tell their families about it first, though. So that evening, the pastor was pretty excited. He was waiting for these men to come, and they did. He was surprised, though, when he saw them coming. He was surprised because they were alone. I think when we think about baptism, we think about families being here and celebrating and that. But these men had no one with them. Not only did they come alone, but they came with suitcases. Each one had a suitcase. The missionary explained that when they had told their families disowned them and forced them to move out, forced them to say their goodbyes. So they took everything that they owned with them. That pastor said in that moment, baptism and a commitment to Christ hit differently. He realized there were very real implications in that. For three men, they had to die with Christ. The old way was done. There was no returning to the old way. And there was just a new way from here on out. This is the picture of baptism. This is the picture of an ending or a death of an old life and the start of a new life. People become Christians for different reasons. Sometimes there's this idea that God is going to make their life easy, very comfortable, very wealthy. You won't have to worry about disease or anything like that, right? And then when those things come, we wonder, was that all a lie? Even some of Jesus' closest disciples, the men who walked with him for years, right? Even the 12 who were following him, many of them were following him because they expected him to become an earthly king. And they thought that if they were in position next to him, they would enjoy a place of favor with the people. They would enjoy wealth. They would enjoy prosperity, right? They didn't understand something, though. They didn't understand that Jesus came to die. He came to serve. He came to be a ransom. The payment for my sin. For your sin. Yes, there was a resurrection and a new life. There was a celebration, right? But in order for there to be that, there had to be a death. That was true for Jesus, and what we all need to understand is that if we are going to be a follower of Christ, that has to be true for us as well. Yes, there's new life that comes, but first there has to be death. We must die to what we want. We must die to what we desire, right? There must be a death to the old way of doing things. We come to the point where we actually want that. I don't know if you're there yet, but I came to the place where I was just tired of how I was living my life, what I was chasing after, what I never could get, right? I always had a goal in mind to get a certain position. I remember the goal was to become city manager, and then that came, and that just didn't fill anything, right? There was a goal to make a certain amount of money, and that came, and then I had a goal to make more money. And then that came, and then there was a goal to make more money, and it just never satisfied me. It's empty. Many of us want to experience the power of the resurrection. Many of us want to experience a new life, right? A new life where we're no longer slaves to things. No longer slaves to the things that drag us down. No longer slaves to our own evil desires. No longer a slave to addiction. No longer a slave to anger. Any of you been in that way where you just can't seem to beat that anger that you have? But here's the thing. You can't beat that unless you die. A burial must come before new life. Some of us are desperate for that. Some of us are desperate for that resurrected life. A resurrected marriage, wouldn't that be great? A resurrected joy, a resurrected hope. We want something new or desperate for something different, but that will not come unless we die. Romans 6, 3 through 4, if I go back to that, or don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Baptism is a picture of this exact passage, right? Baptism is a commitment to follow Jesus Christ. And here's what I'm hoping for today. If you or somebody, maybe if you're the person that has already been baptized, I hope this will just deepen your devotion and commitment to follow him. It's kind of like when you've been married for a while, and you go to somebody else's wedding ceremony, right? Have you been to those? Have you experienced what that's done for me? You're reminded. You're reminded of the vows that you took, the decisions that you made, the commitment that you made, right? I hope this day is kind of like that for you if you've already been baptized. I hope you can look back and see that you've grown, that there is a new life that has come from this walk with Jesus Christ, right? There should be growth. If you got married and you still were living your life as if you were single, there'd be a problem with that. If you've determined to follow Christ and you're still in the same place, still with that, living that selfish life, right, then there's something wrong. If you have not experienced the power of a new life, the power of the resurrection, right, if you've not experienced a full life, then something's missing. Some of the most miserable people I know are people who call themselves Christians. It's because they try and live in two worlds. They try and serve two masters. They are part of two kingdoms. And they never have any peace because they're torn in two different directions. I know this because I lived there a long time while coming to this church. The reason why this whole thing maybe hasn't worked out for you is because you've been trying to do it without dying. You've been trying to follow Jesus without dying to yourself. You've been trying to say yes to him without saying no to you. And that's not how it works. Jesus called people to follow him. He gave them that invitation. He told them, though, right up front, hey, this is what it's going to cost you. And you need to count that cost. You need to make a decision before you say you're going to follow me. Matthew 16:24 says this, whoever wants to be my disciple must, what? Deny themselves. And pick up a cross, a symbol of death, and follow me. It's a call to God. It's a call to die. And it's the great irony of the gospel. You'll never find life to the fullest. There will always be something more you need until you get to the place where you die to yourself. It's the only way you can fully live for him. You have to pick up your cross and follow him. Otherwise, you'll just be stuck serving two masters. There must be a burial. Romans 6, verse 3, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? The word baptized, the word baptizo in the Greek, a ship that gets sunk and goes underneath the water is said to be baptized. It's buried beneath the water. It is a significant thing. Sometimes when people want to get baptized, they want to be held under the water for a little bit of period of time. They don't want it to be quick. They don't want to just go down in the water and then come back up, right? They want a moment to just appreciate what's going on. The problem with that is if you're the pastor, it looks like you're holding somebody underneath the water, and that makes people very nervous, right? Doesn't look good. But this moment should be dramatic. It is significant. I remember when I was baptized, there were some things that needed to die in my life. Some things that I was desperate to see buried once and for all in my life, right? I want you. I want those of you who are going to be baptized today to really think about this. What needs to die? What needs to die? What do you need to lay down, right? What do you keep picking back up? What needs to go? This can be a moment that symbolizes that. A moment to die to a label, right? Maybe a label that you've given yourself. Anybody do that? I'm just no good. Maybe a label that the world has given you. This can be a different moment. No, I was Saul, right? That was the old me. That me died. That me was buried underneath the water, never to come back up, right? My old life is dead and a new life has begun. How awesome is that? That's what you can have. I want you to have this moment where you can bury your old life and be born again, born a new creation in Christ, right? Amen. Baptism represents cleansing. It's a symbol of that. We understand the imagery of water and how it's often used to clean things, right, for washing. So if we have dirt on our body, if we have stain on our clothes, then we understand that that water cleanses us. And so baptism is an image of this cleansing, a symbol of it that's taking place. Have you ever watched one of those shows where they take a black light into a hotel room? There was this one couple getting ready to stay. I think they might have been on their honeymoon. But they rented a room. They went to go in there, and the movie crew came in and said, "Hey, can we just bring this black light in there and take a look in here?" The room looked fine. The room looked good till that black light came on. And that couple bolted out of there. They probably never stayed in a hotel ever again. Here's the thing. We all stay in hotels, don't we? I tend to think it's just better that I just don't know where the stains are. Sometimes we don't want to know, right? Because if we did know, we would be out of there. It's one of those things that as long as you don't know, it's just fine. Some of us are fine with living a life and not looking at our stains. We can look at other people's stains, point those out. They have many more stains than we do, right? But we don't want to see our own. Sometimes we have so much regret, we hate to even think about it. We do everything we can so that we don't have to think about it. Baptism can be a reminder of the cleansing that you've received for all those stains. It reminds you of what happened when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ to save you, right? You might not realize it when you did that, when you placed yet faith in him, but you were cleansed completely. You were made spotless, but there is an enemy that will challenge that, an enemy that will try and deceive you, try and get you not to believe it, right? It's your own self, too, that will wage war with that truth. But what if you had a symbol? What if you had something to look to be reminded that you were cleansed from all those stains? That's what baptism can be, right? Oh, no, that was the old me. I've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, right? And you cannot deceive me with anything that you say. Bring the black light out. That's all been washed away. We all have stains. 1 John 1, 8-9 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us. From how much? From all unrighteousness. All, my friends. Don't hide from the saints. Confess them and be cleansed from them, right? Have them purified, and let baptism be a symbol of that, a reminder of that. Peter said in 1 Peter 3:21, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. Do you have a clear conscience? Is it clear, completely clear? Or are there things that haunt you? It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We must understand this, right? Baptism does not save us. The water doesn't cleanse you. It is Jesus. It is God's resurrection of him, right? Baptism merely symbolizes this. It gives you a visual reminder, a moment where you act out what happened in your own life, right? It helps us have that clear conscience towards God. Some of you maybe are like me, and maybe you have some dark stains that war against your soul. Things that you hate to look back on and remember and think about, but I'm here to testify that you can be free of all that. You can have a clear conscience and freedom from that, right? I have a clear conscience, not because of anything I've done. It's not because I'm a pastor. It's not because I've been in the church a long time, right? It's all because of what Christ did for me. Live in that. Live in that, my friends. You are born again. You are a new creation. The old has gone, right? Jesus dealt with shame. He took it upon himself. The sinless, perfect, begotten Son of God took that upon himself and wiped it all away, cleansed you from it. Why would you let that hang around? Why? Let go of it, right? Don't miss out on this sacred time. Peter preaches the first sermon, right? It cuts people to the heart, and they're like, what should we do? How should we respond to this gospel message? And Peter tells them in Acts 2:32, repent, right? You were heading this direction. You were heading this way, living for yourself, living for this world. Repent, turn and head this way, right? Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and be baptized. Every one of you. That's you. That's me. In the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promises for you and your children and for all who are far off. For all whom the Lord our God will call. Amen? Baptism is for you. It's relevant today. Repent, turn, right? Surrender your life to him. Be baptized. Start that journey following him, and whatever that means for you, make that commitment to follow him, to say yes to him, right? You got to get the journey part. It's not just a journey with him, but in him. Baptism symbolizes you being in him, right? That's how his righteousness surrounds you. Noah and his family had to be in the ark to be saved, right? You must be in Christ to be saved. When you get married, two become one, right? You're in a covenant with your spouse. When you get saved, you become one in a covenant with God. Let me read this passage again. Notice the oneness in it. Or don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like this. If you go on to verse 8, it says this, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. You see the oneness in that? I don't know how many of you have made a cake before. I actually did. Adam, you might be surprised to hear this, but I used to make cakes all the time, long time ago. I remember the first time that I made a cake, though, and started looking at all those ingredients. There's a lot that makes sense. You know, flour, sugar, butter, maybe cocoa. But then there's this weird one, right? Eggs. I remember thinking, what possible flavor or what possible thing can adding an egg to a cake make? It just did not seem like it made sense. It just didn't seem like it fit in, right? You feel like saying, just skip the eggs. But if you were to do that, right, everything would fall apart. Eggs are the bonding agent. And that's Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Colossians 1:15 through 17, the Son is the image of the invisible God, right? The firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created. Things in heaven and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together.
Everything was created by him, through him, for him, and everything holds together in him. He is the reason everything and everyone exists. He is the reason that everyone and everything continues to exist. He is the bonding agent, and baptism symbolizes our unity with him. We're buried in him. We're raised to life in him, right? Our life is broken without him. It's just off. Have you been there? Are you tired of that? Are you tired of chasing after the world and never being enough? Right? Are you desperate for him to put everything together? Are you desperate for new? My grandmother OD'd and died. My uncle OD'd and died. My aunt OD'd and died. My father literally drank himself to death. We found him dead, and there were cartons and cartons and cartons and cartons of beer that he had drank and beer that he was getting ready to drink. I've seen alcohol totally control our families. I've seen Christ flip that all upside down. I've seen Christ break that bondage in my life, in my mom's life. And now our family is on a new direction, a new path, a path of freedom. Don't you want that? What are you a slave to? What are you in bondage to? What do you live for? Can I ask you that? What are you living for today? Does it make any difference? I want to live for the one who flips lives upside down. I want to live for the one who sets people free. I want to tell everybody else about that, right? It's better than giving them money. It's better than giving them anything. I want to see people set free. I want to see people live in freedom. Man, I am a wretch. There is nothing good about me. And the only hope I have is in Christ and in what he did for me. I want to tell people about that. I want to give an opportunity for people to know him and to follow him. What could be better, right? Our life is just broken, meaningless, empty without him. It's just off. It's just, we get tired of that. Are you desperate for him? Are you desperate for him to put things together, right? I want you to experience the fullness of life. I want you to be able to experience joy in a broken world. We live in a broken world, don't we? People do horrible things, but we can experience joy. Do you know him? Jesus makes all things new. I've spent way too long in the church trying to live two different lives, trying to live for him and live for myself, right? I spent way too long missing out on the power that Christ brings. You have to be in him to experience that. You got to quit playing the game. Quit going after the world and die to yourself. Is everybody desperate for that? You can have that in Christ. All you have to do is call on him and ask him to save you. All you have to do is realize that you have nothing good to offer, and the only hope you have is in what Christ did on a cross and what the Father did to raise him from that cross, right? And then you just have to join him in that. Die yourself and be raised to new life. I want that for you, but you have to ask for it. You have to ask him to save you. You have to put your faith and trust in him, right? And he will set you free. He will fill you with his spirit. He will transform your life to look more like him. You just have to ask him. You just have to seek him. Will you do that? This this place can be a place that you can do that. I'd love to talk to you about that. Seek him, my friends. When you do make that decision to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the next step is baptism. Baptism declares to the world, it lets everybody else know, hey, this is the decision I've made. This is who my faith and trust in, right? And I want the world to know that, the world to see that. It testifies to what Christ has done. It's like a wedding ring, right? The wedding ring declares to the world, I've made this commitment to my wife. Baptism is that symbol that tells the world you've made this commitment to follow Jesus Christ. A commitment to place your faith to be saved from Jesus by what Jesus has done, right? This wedding ring is also a reminder to myself, though. Yeah, it tells the world about it, but it also reminds me I've made vows. I've made a commitment. I am not about myself. I am to die to myself, right? And cherish my wife. That's the vows we make. Baptism is a reminder. I remember when I made that commitment to you. Communion is where we are reminded of that. Baptism is the starting point. Communion is where we examine our vows. Am I keeping these vows, right? Am I putting him first? Am I dying to myself? Because we have to do that daily, right? We have to make a conscious decision to do that daily. And so when we enter into communion, we remember what Christ did for us. We remember the new covenant, right? And we align things back where they need to be. It starts, though, with a commitment, with a crying out, and with being baptized. I want this for you. Some of you have not been baptized, and I'm just hoping that maybe the Holy Spirit will reveal to you that you need to be baptized and how important this is. Jesus commanded us to do this. Commanded us to do this. You need to be baptized. It will not save you, but you need to be baptized if you want to be obedient to him. Will you do that, right? We're going to come to the time where we baptize some people. If that's you and you need to get changed, now's the time to get ready. If you're already ready to go, you can come up here and I'll join you. Listen to this final passage, though. Matthew 10, 32 through 33 says, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. This is a chance to make a declaration. Can we grab the kids too and bring them in? If you are being baptized today, I'm going to do some of you. But I would love for you to maybe bring a family member with you to be on the other side and join you. If not, I'll find somebody. All of them, yeah. If you haven't talked to me about being baptized and you want to be baptized, and as long as you have made the decision to put your faith in Jesus Christ, you can be baptized, whether or not you've talked to me or not. Now's the time. Don't shrink back from this right now. Anything that you'd like to say or anything like that? Love Jesus. Love Jesus. Amen. Yeah. So... Hayden's on the Monroeville football team with Ethan and Maverick. Used to be Jackson, but then he quit, you know. But these guys have been setting the example, and it's been amazing to watch because they get together right before the game as the captains, and they pray, right? But not only that, what I love even more is that they'll join together with the team and pray afterwards, but then they invite the other team to pray together. In every game, they've done this win or lose. And I've just... And I've seen how it's affected adults, right? How much it's encouraged me. How it's been a testimony to me. I've seen little kids running to join them, right? I've seen this guy shouting literally the name of Jesus Christ at the games, right? We're proud of you. All right, give me your full name.
Hayden Lee Ryan.
All right, Hayden Lee Ryan. I'm going to grab you. If you want, you can actually, you want to hold your nose with this hand? All right. Hayden Lee Ryan, it is my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Good. All right. Linda, anything you want to say? Just grateful. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hey, I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for serving with you. Anything that you ask Linda, she does. Right. So you are a blessing to have. Yeah.
I thought Jesus at John the Baptist. I mean, I figured, you know, we have a reason why we pick the people to baptize us.
Mm. That's cool. That's cool. Yeah, especially you, right? Yeah. All right. Linda, give me your full name.
Linda K. Linda K. Smith Prater.
Linda K. Smith Prater. All right. You want to hold your nose?
Yeah.
All right. Linda K. Smith Prater. It is our privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
So this is definitely a great privilege for me because this is my little boy that I love very much, and I'm so thankful that God has brought them into our life. So this is very exciting for me. I might need somebody to hold this because I don't think
Kaden Grimes Callahan.
It's my privilege, Kaden Callahan Grimes, to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Yeah. All right. This is my son, Finley Allen, the Dolist. Yeah. He's about to be baptized.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. We baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
To strengthen my family.
Amen. Amen.
To truly guide, take Christ's lead on this. And anyway, amen. Now you guys can hold me accountable.
Amen. So. Amen. Amen. All right.
Praise God.
Middle name, Andrew?
John.
John. All right. Andrew John Nadolis, it is our privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Known you for a long time. We've had some crazy times together, right?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. We've lived through them. Yeah. Mike, it is my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Love you, brother. Love you. Dean, anything you'd like to say?
Well, I'd just like to get closer to my Lord.
Amen.
Like I told you, after reading the Bible this year, you still owe me a shirt.
Yeah.
After reading the Bible this year, you know, when you read the part about two men out in the open field, and one will be go with Jesus, one will be left.
Yeah.
I want to be the one that goes.
Amen. 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 Yeah. Well, you can be confident of that because your faith is in Him. Amen. Amen. Dean, give me your full name. Did I even say your name, Mike?
Harold Dean Taylor.
Harold Dean Taylor, all right. Harold Dean Taylor, it is my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Welcome, brother. Michael Dean Butler, it is my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Love you, brother. Jackson. It's been, I know you didn't play this year with us, but it's been a privilege. I thank you for your friendship with my son. Yeah. Action Jackson. No, I don't want to say it that way. Jackson Grant Hedrick. It is my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Follow him. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Love you, guys. Well, it is a privilege to be part of this. It's a privilege to point to the one. That's what you guys did, right? You pointed to the one who saved your life. And I just want to pray for you. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for what all this represents. Father, I pray for the ones who have made that decision today. I pray that you would take them on a journey that flips their lives upside down. I pray that you would give them purpose and peace in it all. I pray that they would be a light and a testimony to you and the work that you've done. Father, I know there is an enemy that's going to come maybe later on today or tomorrow and tell them what fools they are. We know this is foolishness to some, but we also know that you have changed us. And regardless, we want to give you all honor and praise. Father, give them peace. Prevent the evil one from speaking to them. Give us all an opportunity to share the good news with somebody this very week. Give us the boldness to do it. Let us not be shy. Let us recognize that time is short, Lord. And Father, I pray that if there's somebody right now that you're speaking to, somebody that you're calling to cry out to save them, I pray that they would do just that. I pray that they would at least make the decision to say, I'm going to seek you. And Father, if they don't have a church, I pray that you'd give them an amazing church to be a part of, Father. A church that will walk with them. A church that will hold them accountable. A church that will be a safe place that they can ask questions, that they can search, Lord. A church that will preach the truth, though, unapologetically, but with a whole lot of grace. Father, we love you. We love this privilege that we have to be your body. May we always be guided by you and you alone, Lord. Lord, we love you and give you praise. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.